as the heartbeat of that organization or the heartbeat of that person's life, what do we mean? You can give me some feedback. If I say the heartbeat of this organization or knowing that person, the heartbeat of their life is this, what do I mean when I say that? What would you say? All right, the source of energy, the thing that energizes that organization, that energizes that person. Somebody else, what does it mean when I say this is the heartbeat of something? The thing that motivates, the driving force, the passion, the thing that makes them tick. Well, this morning, I want us to look at together the heartbeat of Jesus. What was the thing that motivated Jesus, that his life was about? The driving impulse of his life. What energized? What was his passion? I want to ask you all to open your Bible this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. And we're going to look at verses 35 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and we're going to read to verse 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Now, this passage really brings out for all of us what was and what is this morning the driving, energizing passion of God's Son. Sometimes different people have different ideas about that, but there'll be no doubt when we look at these verses, what is the heartbeat of Jesus? The Bible says in verse 35 that Jesus was going through all their cities and villages. We know from an historian at that time who was not a Christian, whose name was Josephus, a Jewish man, that at that time there were about 204 cities and villages in the region of Galilee. And the Bible says that Jesus was going through all these cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. And what was he doing? As Jesus went from town to town, as he woke up each new day, what was Jesus doing? Jesus was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Every day and in every place, Jesus was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and he was demonstrating the gospel of the kingdom. He was announcing to people good news about the reign of God and he was demonstrating that reign in what he was doing. He calls it, the Bible calls it, the gospel of the kingdom. I want to take a few minutes to think about what is the gospel of God's kingdom. Do you know it? The Old Testament says this, 700 years before Jesus was ever on the earth, the Old Testament says that one day the Messiah, when he came, would be pierced through for your transgressions. He would be crushed for your iniquities. The word iniquities means your guilty deeds. The chastening for your well-being was put upon him, and by his scourging, you would be healed. The Bible said 700 years before the Messiah came, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord God has caused the guilty deeds of us all to fall on the Messiah. The Bible said 700 years before Jesus was born in Isaiah 61 and verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, the Messiah, because the Lord has anointed me to do what? To bring good news to the afflicted, people in this earth that are troubled, that are oppressed. The Lord God has appointed me to bring good news to those people, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners." This is what Jesus the Messiah came to do. Was to announce to the world, was to die for their sin and preach good news to everyone who knew they needed a Savior. That is the gospel of the kingdom. Matter of fact, the Bible says about the Messiah in the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, 450 years before Jesus was born. The Bible said that when the Messiah would come, the Son of Righteousness would rise with healing in his wings. And what did we just read in here in Matthew chapter 9? That Jesus went every day proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. When you open up the book of Matthew, and by the way, I'm going to pause to say this. The book of Ezekiel, 600 years before Jesus was born. Listen to this one passage from Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34. You just listen along. The Bible says, Ezekiel 34, that God says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel," these guys who were supposed to be priests. "Prophesy and say to those shepherds, those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and with severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." Now you take that background, and then the very first verse of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, says, "The record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham." The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, before Jesus was born, an angel came to his mother Mary and said of her, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This is the gospel. You know, when Jesus was born, the morning or the evening that he was born, the angels came to the shepherds and said, "Behold, we bring you good news of great things, of great joy, which will be for all people. For to you this day in the city of David, a Savior has been born, who is Christ Jesus the Lord." You know, Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verse 43, "I must preach the kingdom of God. For this purpose I was sent." Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, verse 32, "I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners." What was the driving passion of Jesus? Well, the first sermon he ever preached, Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The heartbeat of Jesus is proclaiming the good news of salvation. The heartbeat of Jesus is this: to save sinners. That is the heartbeat of Jesus in 2010 in this city. And that's what Jesus wants to do in your life. There are some churches in our city this morning that are telling people that Jesus came to provide you a wonderful example. Be like Jesus. Be kind like Jesus. Love your neighbor like Jesus. Jesus did not come to be a wonderful example. Although, is he a great example? Yes, he is. Jesus came to die to save sinners. That's why he came. And that is the heartbeat of Jesus in your life and in my life this morning. That's what he wants to do in all of our life. He wants to save you from your sin. The Bible, so I want to ask all of you this morning, what is your heartbeat? Would you say the heartbeat of your life is the heartbeat of Jesus to save sinners? That is the thing that is driving your life. Yes, are you a brother, a mother, a employee, a neighbor, a citizen of this city? Yes. But what is the thing? Now, did Jesus eat every day? Most days, yes. Did he sleep? Did he spend time with his family? Did he do things that all human beings do? Yes. But what was the impulse that was energizing Jesus' life day after day in the midst of all the normal human stuff he was doing? It was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and demonstrating that gospel. So I ask you this morning, in the one human life that you and I live on this earth, what is driving your life? If I were to ask you, and anybody that knows you, if I were to say to someone that knows you, what is the heartbeat of that person's life? What would they say? What is energizing why you get up every day? And why you live where you live? And why you go out of your way to know the people that you know and not go out of their way to know the people that you don't know? What is it that's driving your life? Well, for Christians, the Bible says, therefore, because you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 3. For Christians, as we grow to follow Jesus, you know what? His heartbeat becomes our heartbeat. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, if you follow me, what did he say he would make them? Fishers of men. Proclaiming and demonstrating the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners ought to be the heartbeat of every Christian in this room this morning. The Bible says the love of Christ controls us because we've concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God was making an appeal through us, we urge you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now I want to ask you this morning, is this the heartbeat of your life? Or is the driving impulse of your life your career? The driving impulse of life your rest, your pleasure? Your wood carvings, your bowlings, whatever it can be. What is driving your life? And I want you to see in the upcoming verses the incredible urgency of this matter. Why Jesus, day after day, in the midst of normal human life, was driven every day, proclaim the gospel of the kingdom and demonstrate that gospel. Proclaim the gospel and demonstrate that gospel. Everywhere he went, Jesus was on a big time mission. And this morning, if you have come to faith in Jesus, the heartbeat that God wants you and I to have, this heartbeat to do this. I want to ask you this morning, how do you see your coworkers? How do you see your neighbors? How do you see this city? Do you see what Jesus sees? When Jesus looks at your neighbors, and when Jesus looks at your coworkers, and when Jesus looks at this city, what does Jesus see? This morning, do you see the city and those people the same way Jesus does? Look at verse 36. When Jesus traveled around these 204 villages and cities, what did he see? Seeing the people, he felt what for them? Compassion. Jesus felt compassion for them. The Bible says that day after day when Jesus went around in the midst of the busyness of that time when he lived, as Jesus observed the people in the world that he was in, there was in his heart a heart of sympathy, a heart of compassion. Why does the Bible say he felt this way? Because they were distressed and dispirited. Some of your translations say they were harassed and helpless. When Jesus looks at a group of people and looks at a city, he sees beyond all the surface things. And when Jesus looks down, here's what he sees in the life of human beings. what Jesus sees among these people are people in those places day after day who are distressed. The idea of being distressed is they are oppressed, they are bullied. Matter of fact, this word was used in ancient times of a fish picking at a flesh of a dead thing, just continually ripping at the flesh of this thing that had already died. That is the picture of this idea of someone who is distressed, someone whose life is just being bullied. And the Bible says he felt compassion because they were this way and they were dispirited. This means they were exhausted. It's like someone after you've been, you can't go a step farther. You have maybe run several miles, or you're incredibly hungry, or you're just worn out, and you just fall to the ground. This is a person that is unable to rescue themselves or to escape from their tormentors. This is someone who is distressed and dispirited. Their life is bullied, and they're exhausted. This is what Jesus sees when he looks at our city. This past week, I was talking to some friends of mine that I know here in the city, and this one woman who is really struggling in her marriage doesn't know Jesus as Lord. And the sadness in her life in the midst of this relationship, not being able to, just the sadness that's there. I talked to another guy this week, a friend of mine who is a single guy, who is frustrated. He keeps time and time again trying to hook up with all these different girls, and time again just crash and burn, crash and burn. I sat with him across the lunch table this week. He's like, man, I don't... Can you guys imagine, how would you feel if you were to see, if you walked out of this morning and you start walking in Kennedy Plaza and you see a homeless child walking around, 7-year-old boy or girl just walking around? What would you do? How would you feel about that? Wouldn't you want to rise up and do something for this little... Well, like how you and I would feel is how Jesus feels when he looks at human beings and he sees them oppressed and bullied two ways, by sin, and then secondly, by religious people. Think back when Jesus lived. The Jewish people, for the most part, were, you know, under all these kind of religious leaders who were burying them with all these kinds of laws. Of course, they didn't do any of themselves, but demanding of them all these kinds of things. And these people really wanted in their heart, in some cases, to obey God, but they were just bullied by these teachers and bullied by their sin. And in the same time, distressed, worn out, exhausted from their inability to be able to be what God wanted them to be. And there's no doubt, by the way, matter of fact, I don't know how many of you guys were around here last night. Last night was sound session right here downtown. I stood outside, it was my concierge job, about midnight last night, and I saw a lot of people who were not distressed and dispirited. And I thought to myself, okay, wait a minute. I'm looking at this crowd, and I'm remembering Jesus looking at the people with compassion. And you know what? In your life, and my life, and in this city, there are some people right now who do not realize the terribleness of their spiritual condition. They're going along clicking their heels, and they don't realize where they really are. But there are plenty of people who do. And what needs to be happening in my life as I begin to follow Jesus, he will make me a fisher of men. That I begin to look at my coworkers and look at my neighbors in a different way than I normally do. To begin to look on them with compassion as people who are dispirited and distressed. And some person may not be in that place yet. And the Bible says a person will never be in the kingdom of heaven until they are poor in their spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God has to bring them to that place. But what I do know is in this city, there are plenty of people that way. And by the way, our city is no different from the Apostle Paul's day when he went out. The Apostle Paul left Jewish people, very religious people, and he went to Gentiles, people who didn't spend much time at all and didn't know anything about the Bible. That's the way our city is down here. Most people down here are agnostic. They have nothing to do with the Bible. You might have some sincere religious people down here, and they would probably be the distressed and dispirited kind. We should keep our eyes out for these kind. But there are other kind right now that are totally people who think not twice about God. And the Bible says about the Apostle Paul, God sent me to them to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among all those who are saved by faith in me. God takes us, Christians, and launches us into our neighborhood, in our workplace, and into our city with the heartbeat of Jesus. Do you realize how incredibly urgent it is? Jesus says in verse 36, he says he feels compassion because they are distressed and dispirited, and Jesus compares them to being like a sheep, or sheep that are missing a shepherd. Just wandering around. What's the problem? The problem is there are a lack of shepherds. Look at verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Jesus compares the spiritual condition of people in the world that he lived to sheep without a shepherd and a harvest that is about ready to go to waste because there's a lack of workers in it. All this good grain, all this good corn is going to go because there's no one there to harvest it. The Bible says, Jesus said to his disciples, "I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white to harvest." The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5, "He who gathers in the summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in the harvest is a son who acts shamefully." And I want to ask this morning, do we have a room of Christians here this morning whose heart is beating like Jesus every day, no matter where, yes, you eat, and yes, you go to work, but the thing that's driving your life is to see sinners saved? Proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and demonstrating that reign in your life. Telling it and showing it. Telling it and showing it. Now, men and women, how many shepherds do we have in this city, do you think? How many? Out of 175,000 individuals who live inside this city. I guarantee you we have less than 1%. For sure. One time the Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 30 that Philip, one of God's men, was going on down the road and God said, "Listen, there's a man right now that I want you to go join his chariot. This guy's reading the Bible. He doesn't know what he's reading." So Philip leaves where he is. He goes up to this guy's chariot and he says to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The guy says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And Philip, the Bible says, began right at the scripture that guy was reading and preached to him Christ. And the man was baptized and saved. You know what this city needs? This city needs a bunch of shepherds who will go out in this city, into your neighborhood, in your workplace, and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. If we don't, who will? And this matter is urgent. This is what Jesus sees going on inside our city. I ask you this morning, are you sleeping through the harvest of your lifetime? How do people sleep through it? You know how they do? Even Christians, they're focused on things. They're focused on getting more, earning more money, getting a bigger house. They haven't so everything, they're just like anybody else in the world basically, and they're going along focused on things, or they're focused on their own pleasure. Or they come to churches like this that are brand new and just starting, and they say, "Well, you know, do you have this program and that program? I want this program. Do you have this?" So they have all these preferences of what they want a church to be like, rather than saying, "You know what? This church is on a mission, and I want to go proclaim the gospel in this city." You have Christians that are addicted to porn every day. You have Christians that are on pain medication. Or prescription medication themselves, just like an unsaved person taking prescription medication to keep them up, to keep them happy, and they're half drugged every single day of their life. Can you imagine in a battle if the soldiers were at war, and while they're at war, there are some soldiers back in the tent and they're back there on eBay? And the rest of the guys are up, "What are you doing, man?" They're back on Facebook. They're on their porn site. They're sleeping while they're at war. Jesus says in verse 38, look what Jesus says in verse 38. After he says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, therefore pray, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into his harvest. This matter is urgent. I want to say to all of you this morning, based on Scripture, if you are a born... Well, first, let me say this. If you have never truly understood the gospel of the kingdom, and that is that you are a sinner in desperate need of salvation, and Jesus is that Savior, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Why? Because He did something about your sin. He died on the cross, and He resurrected. Believe Him. Number two, if you have, as you follow Jesus, He will make you a fisher of men. Jesus is calling us to have the same exact heartbeat that He has. This is what this city needs. And this is what your co-workers need and your neighbors need, is a shepherd in their life that will proclaim the gospel of the kingdom and demonstrate that gospel. The Bible says, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. But guys, our city and your co-workers and your neighbors and your friends are not going to know the good news if you don't open your mouth. The heartbeat of Jesus day after day was to go and announce this gospel and demonstrate this gospel. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Send me. We just sang, and we're going to sing it in just a moment, hear the call of the kingdom. Do you hear that call today, this morning in your life? If you are a born-again Christian, to rise up above what the average person lives for, things and pleasure and things that the day they bury you will mean nothing. Meanwhile, your co-workers and your neighbors in the city are sheep without a shepherd, distressed and dispirited. Now, where are the harvesters? This morning, we should pray that God will call more workers into His harvest. And by the way, we're going to see next week that as soon as Jesus says that, He looks at those 12 guys and says, go get them, boys. You just prayed? Go get them. And by the way, you'll see this next Sunday. But those disciples were no great, giant, Superman Christians. They were people like me and you. But what they had is a mighty promise of Jesus that wherever you go, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age, and all authority is given to me. Now, dear people, in this morning, in your mind, can you get a vision of what your life could be and the difference that you could make? Only the Lord knows all the people in this city who He is going to save. He knows the people in the city that this morning are distressed and dispirited. What needs to be happening in my life as a born-again believer is that each day as I wake up, as I follow Jesus, Lord, make me a fisher of men. By Your grace, keep my mind focused on the thing that really matters, Your kingdom. Help me to proclaim the good news of the kingdom and demonstrate that kingdom. This was and is the heartbeat of Jesus and ought to be the heartbeat of you, to save sinners. Now let's bow for prayer, and then we're going to sing this song, Hear the Call of the Kingdom. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Lord, how we pray this morning. I want to thank You for all who are gathered here today. I pray for any that are among us this morning that have never truly grasped the gospel themselves, the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to be pierced for their sins and crushed for their guilty deeds. and all of their sins were laid on Him. And if they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be saved. Lord, may this morning they turn to You in total faith. Turn from their sin and believe on You. And then, Lord, I pray for those of us who have received this new life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life, this new life. For all those of us who have believed on You, Lord, how I pray that You will call workers into Your harvest. How I pray that You will stir this new church, Lord, that we may have set our mind where Your mind is, that we may have Your heartbeat, and as we launch out this week, tomorrow, this afternoon, that we be praying for those that we know and those that we don't know, and be looking, Lord, for opportunities to preach the good news and demonstrate that good news to them. Lord, help us to be bold, to not be ashamed of the gospel, to preach boldly as we ought to speak, and help us not to be lazy. One of the greatest tragedies of our own personal sin struggles is it keeps us from really preaching the gospel. So, Lord, set us free from our own sin struggles in this room. We pray You do these mighty works in our life, Lord, that we may beat with the same heart that You beat with. We pray in Your name. Amen. Let's sing this song together. Hear the call of the kingdom.